You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيئنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Honorable ulama, respected elders, brothers, mothers, sisters, beloved youth, the esteemed listeners of Sirius FM, Radio Al-Ansar, and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is only the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah jalla wala that Almighty Allah has blessed us with the final constitution, which is the Quran Sharif. And to explain to us the noble Quran, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained the Quran Sharif in detail in a practical manner. As Maulana Mawad Ridwan mentioned now, that regarding inheritance, the Islamic law of succession, if you want to understand the intricacies and the complex situation of it, then one must go back to the noble Quran, Surah 4, Surah Nisa. And you need to study verses 7 right up to 14. I will refer to these verses just now. And then you should go to the ending of Surah Nisa, that is verse number 176. And Surah Nisa is chapter number 4 of the noble Quran. So Almighty Allah Jalla Wala revealed all these verses, and these verses are for all times, all places, all circumstances. Secondly, before we go into the topic, three issues we need to discuss. Number one, what is the virtues regarding the inheritance laws of Islam? Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allimuha, you must teach it to people, فَإِنَّهَا نِصْفُ الْعِلْمِ, it is half the knowledge. Imagine Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calling it half the knowledge. Because whilst we are alive, we have so many issues. So that is regarding our salat, our zakat, our hajj, business. But once a person dies, there are so many other related issues. So therefore that is half the knowledge, the hadith in Musnad Ahmad. Second hadith, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَفْرَدُكُمْ زَيْدٌ ثَابِتٌ. We see among the beloved Sahaba, students and companions of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many of them had unique features. For example, أَعْلَمُهُمْ بِالْحَلَالِ وَالْحَرَامِ. The person who knew the most regarding halal and haram was Mu'az bin Jabal radiallahu anhu. He is buried there in Jordan. Then regarding the Islamic law of succession, the Islamic law of inheritance, is Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala an. Now we also need to learn the history. How did the law evolve? What happened was, when they came to Medina Munawwara, then Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to bring unity, solidarity in the rank and file of the ummah. So the muhajireen, the migrants who came from Makkah Mukarramah, the Ansar and the assistants and the helpers here from Medina Munawwara, so the master Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam made them brothers. This was a temporary measure. Brothers in such a manner, if the muhajir passed away, the Ansar would inherit. If the Ansari brother passed away, the muhajir would inherit. Even inheritance was working for a short period among them. When we study the pagan system and draw a comparison with that of Islam, is what said to say what many of us are doing today. In the days of Makkah, in the pagan days before Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam's Milad Mubarak, honorable birth, they had one criteria. You must be a male, so all females already are deprived. Second, you must be a participant in battle. Someone who's a warrior, someone who's a soldier. So then you would get shares. If any of these two criteria were not met, then you were deprived. How can we give a share to a person who is not fighting? And women is unheard of. How can they inherit? They don't participate in battles and so forth. Our Islam is called Deen. Maliki Yawmid Deen. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is the possessor, the owner of the Day of Justice. Inna Deen, Inna Lail Islam. Islam says that Islam is a religion of justice. Justice politically, economically, socially, all aspects you will always find justice. Therefore it's called Deen. So now the law started changing. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is bringing about a change in the word manner that people were accustomed to. So what did Almighty Allah say? Yusikumullahu fi awladikum. So Almighty Allah is commanding you regarding your children and inheritance. So from there you will see the evolutionary process came to bring about the revolution in the laws of inheritance. So what we need to understand is about 5-10 issues properly, and then everyone should work out their own shares, because every family will be different. You will have different scenarios. So let us take some examples and see how well things happen. I just heard that our learned lawyer and attorney, Brother Ziyad Hafiji, his wife passed away last week. Allah Jalla wa Ala grant her Jannatul Firdaus. So when a Muslim person passes away in any part of the world, so what happens? Practically, the first thing that will happen is the burial funeral expenses. All that will come out from the tariqah. Tariqah means the estate. So from the estate of the deceased, we take the money and we pay for the hearse, we pay for the grave, we pay for everything. Obviously, if there's a family member, the son, daughter, friend, anybody, he or she says, no, I'll pay for it. The wife passes away, the husband says he will pay. Husband passes away, wife says she will pay from her personal money. So all that is fine, acceptable, no problem on that. So that is step number one. Now, we must contrast this with what is happening today. My father, mother, brothers passed away, rahimahullah, Allah grant all the marhumin, Jannatul Firdaus. Now visitors come. Somebody comes, they want tea, somebody comes, they want lunch, somebody comes, they want supper. Now what happens? So many a time you will see in our families, we are using the wealth of the deceased, withdrawing money still from the estate of the deceased. For the visitors that are coming, that definitely is unlawful, is unacceptable. All that money must be remain in the estate, and the following must take place. So you the heirs, you the family members, if and when visitors come, so you must use your own money. You can't be using money from the estate for the guest and whatever else is there. So we need to be very clear on that issue, and which is rife and common nowadays. Second one, we live in a capitalistic society. We know 90% of the ummah are in debt, the debt trap as we call it. We should always remember what Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. This hadith, my brothers, is mentioned in Sunan Nasai. And we should always make this our aim, objective in life, whether we're staying in Indonesia, Houghton or anywhere else. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika. O Allah, I seek your protection, min al kufri wa dain, from blasphemy and from debts. Blasphemy and debts. The Sahaba, the beloved students, companions of the Master Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam over there, astonished and amazed. Ya Rasulullah, O Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so weighted dayna bil kufri, you almost equated debts with kufr and disbelief and blasphemy? Qawla na'am. He said yes. So remember, when you juxtapose and compare the capitalistic system Our Islamic system, the capitalistic system, will tell you go more and more into debt. And therefore you will find in that system the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Because they play the mind game. They tell you the deposit is so much and they will write that very big. And the retail price is written small. You see the mind game they'll play. But in Islam, if we learn this law and principle, lead a sin-free life and lead a debt-free life, then remember everything will work out very, very good. But we know people want to run big, big businesses, millions and billions. So obviously they have to get involved in debts and what have you. So my brothers, my father, my mother, whoever passes away. So after the burial expenses, everything is settled. This is a huge, huge problem today. People say for my father, mother, husband, wife, children, I want to give Isali Sawab, I want to give Musallas, I want to dig up a borehole, I want to make a well. Bay all that in his place. Sort this out first. The creditors. So the creditors must be sorted out from the entire estate. How burial expenses is from the entire estate. Remember, the creditors must be sorted out from the entire estate. Creditors, what does it mean? I took a loan from Muhammad Ridwan. Muhammad Ridwan Maulana is big shot now in Houghton. I said, give me 100,000 rand or whatever. So he gave me. So he didn't give me anything, just example, you understand. So he gave me the 100 grand and whatever, you understood. So in a case like that, so I, my heirs must make sure, my executor and heirs, so they have to pay that out. So whether it be our personal debts, or whether it be our corporate debts, whether it be our company debts, whatever is our proportionate share, I am responsible. You can't bring your South African law and say the company will take care of it. He will take care of it. Justice delayed is justice denied. Don't look for loopholes, brothers. In Islam, we're not allowed. I give you two ahadiths on this topic, beside the one I quoted now. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith in Musnad Ahmad, and think properly where we are. Nafsul mu'mini mu'allakatun biduyunihi hatta tuqza anhu. That Muslim person, his life will remain, his soul will remain suspended. No entry into Jannah and Paradise. Until and unless the debts are taken care of. How many of us today who are executors, who are heirs, have really ensured that we paid cent to cent for our beloved father who passed away in 60s, 70s? Who paid all the debts of our brother or whoever. We say that person now passed away, yen manse dwert is ana manse brood. Understood? He died now, he became the owner, what must we do? It don't work that way, brother. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, matalul ghaniyi zulmun hadith in Mishkat Sharif. The money is there. You say it's tied up in stock, you say it's this, it's that. So you sell that stock and you make sure that you start paying all the creditors. So brothers, this is vital, and many a time we are not fulfilling our duty. And remember, there are serious, serious consequences for the deceased because his debts are not paid. It does not behove a Muslim, he must wait. That Nabi alayhi salam said, delaying the payment of debts is zulam, is oppression, and one form of tyranny. So we need to be very clear on this. The debts must be paid immediately and as soon as possible. Third one will be wasiyah. Wasiyah is that what we bequeath. And every person should make wasiyah. This is Islam giving us another opportunity to increase our good deeds. We are living in Houghton. So now we are reading Salati in Masjid al-Furqan. Our children attend the madrasa, yeah? Whatever it is. So in your world you say 2%, 5%, 10% must go to the Houghton madrasa, Houghton masjid or any other masjid, yeah, India, wherever, Pakistan, wherever you want to. Or you say it must go to the library. So whatever you want to, you can bequeath. But it must not exceed one third of the net estate, the total estate. One third is maximum. And the recipients of that must be non-heirs. You cannot bequeath for an heir. I can't say I'm bequeathing this for my son, I'm bequeathing this for my daughter, for my father, my mother. No. Yes, some of us, we have adopted children. So an adopted child does not inherit. An adopted child does not inherit. So it's very easy for you to solve the problem. You have one adopted child, you have two adopted children. So in a case like that, you make provision for it in your last will and your last testament. And you say 20%, 25%, 30%, 33 1/3% maximum that will be, you are bequeathing for them. So number one will be burial funeral expenses. Number two will be the debts of the deceased. Halal debts we are speaking about. Somebody is owing the escort agency. Somebody is owing the casino. All that is not included. That you can look for some interest money or something. And remember, make dua for the deceased, because now sometimes we face with all this situation. Third one I told you is this. So that is one side of the spectrum. What is the other side? Take three examples and you must understand this. Number one, today you can't just book your ticket and you ask Hafiz Ibrahim, he'll tell you all that. And we just go for Hajj like in the good day, old days. Today is quota, today you need visa, lot of issues. ABC person, Hajj is compulsory upon him or her. And that person did not perform the Hajj, which is farz and compulsory, obligatory on that person. So it's incumbent, mandatory, obligatory that that person writes in his will that my Hajj must be performed. And this Hajj has to be performed from South Africa. Meaning you send a person on your behalf from South Africa. Not you get somebody in Makkah, Medina, give them 1,000 riyals, 2,000 riyals and make Hajj. No. Because this Hajj is compulsory and you did not perform it, I did not perform it, Allah forbid, so I have to make provision for it in my will. So to write about that is compulsory. A person missed Ramadan fast due to illness, sickness, what have you, and he is now lazy or whatever the circumstances are, that he had the opportunity to keep qada but did not keep qada. So $2 per day you have to pay, $2, 15 rand, so that is 30 rand per fast. So $1 we just work on 15 rand. You know how it fluctuates. So anyway we say 30 rand you have to pay per fast. So I must stand fast, so and I'm not keeping the qada, and I'm getting sin for that obviously. So in that I write in my will that 300 rand must be paid for the 10 fasts that I have omitted. This is wajib, is compulsory. Only Hanafis say this next one that I'm mentioning. Only Hanafis say that. Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanbalis, none of them make mention of this. Hanafis say that whilst a person is alive, we have to read our 5 daily salat. If we miss a certain salat, we have to make qada. You can't be making EFT and signing check and all this type of thing. Then the people will not really make EFT the whole time. So whilst the person is alive, remember that he must perform salat, ada on time, or qada afterwards. But this person did not read his salat. But he wrote in his will that for my must salat, you pay this amount and so forth, or you must calculate it, you can take it from the estate. So all this here must be included in the world that you call wasiyat, that is compulsory. For the masjid, for the person, for your neighbor, Tom, Dick and Harry. You got your neighbor in Houghton and is a very good person. And he or she, I'm not speaking of mastrasi and all that, but nowadays we get a lot of stories, this mota left for his girlfriend something and all this kind of thing. That is not permissible. So you got a very good neighbor, you got a person with whom you deal in business, and many a time he saved you substantial amount of money. This is the beauty of Islam. So do you wrote in your will and you bequeath a certain amount for Mr. Tom, Mrs. Tom or Mrs. Harry or whoever, and up to 1/3 as a wasiya, so that also is permissible. There's no problem in that. We don't have wasiya we're speaking about. So these are different scenarios regarding what you bequeath to non-heirs, and remember the maximum amount will be 1/3 of the total estate. Now we come to the last one, and that is the shares of the heirs. You are people of substance. You are people who got, mashallah, millions and whatever you. As a brother, I give you one advice. Nowadays, your one son is in Dubai, one in London, one in New York, one here. There. It's very easy. You know, we all got the gadgets. We got cell phone. We got this. We got. So you don't have to have a meeting here. You just connect everybody's phones and we have a teleconference. One person here, one person here. I'm the dada, I'm the father, I'm the big shot, and all, everything happened, I started the business and whatever. So in a case like that what happens? So I say, listen, I got three sons, three daughters, whatever the permutations might be, three sons, two daughters, five daughters, one son, whatever it is. This is the beauty of Islam, my brothers and sisters. During your lifetime, when you want to give, and I will really recommend and advise you to give, there are two conditions you must take into consideration. Hadith in Sahih Muslim. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Wattaqullah. Fear Allah. This human being, Surah Wal-Adiyat, Surah 100. You all know Surah Wal-Adiyat. Allah is drawing a comparison with the loyalty of the horses to the master and owner. And me and you, the masterpiece of Allah's creation. Allah complains of me and you. Innal insana li rabbihi lakanud. Beshak ye insan apne rab ke bohot hi nashukar hai. Verily this insan, this human being, this masterpiece is very, very ungrateful to Allah. Wa innahu ala dhalika lashaheed. And he bears testimony. The more Allah gave me, I was millionaire, I became billionaire. The more bold I become in committing vices and sin. What is the cause for this ungratefulness, unthankfulness? وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٍ. Because human being's nature is innate, inborn quality is, he loves his wealth madly and intensely. So during your lifetime, Islam says, your son, Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman, Ali, your daughter Fatima, Zainab, Umme Kulsum, Jamila, so you give them equal. When you distributing, giving out during your lifetime as a gift, you give equally. Not ratio 2-1. Wa'adilu bayna awladikum. It's not necessary you must give money. One can be given a house, one can be given money, one can be given jewelry, one can be given a block of flats. But approximately, you come to a mutual amicable agreement and all of them are happy, but two conditions. Condition number one, my son, my daughter are the giftee, they are the recipient, they must take possession of it. So what do we mean by possession? So if it is a car, then the car papers, all that, you do the transfer. If it is property, intensely. So during your lifetime, Islam says, your son, Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman, Ali, your daughter, Fatima, Zainab, Umme Kulsum, Jamila, so you give them equal. When you distributing, giving out during your lifetime as a gift, you give equally. Not ratio 2-1. وَعَدِلُوا بَيْنَ أَوْلَادِكُمْ. It's not necessary you must give money. One can be given a house, one can be given money, one can be given jewelry, one can be given a block of flats. But approximately, you come to a mutual amicable agreement and all of them are happy, but two conditions. Condition number one, my son, my daughter are the giftee, they are the recipient, they must take possession of it. So what do we mean by possession? So if it is a car, then the car papers, all that, you do the transfer. If it is property, the title deeds, all that must be transferred onto their name. So you can't say you're giving it to them, but everything is still on your name. So that, now I say I'm giving this block and we attach 90% 90% rental, unacceptable in Islam, and the conditions will be waived off. So my advice to you all, to solve your problems, you need to decrease that vast estate of yours. Inshallah, our brother Ziyad, I hope, is here. He will explain to you all about estate duty and all these type of issues. So therefore, I told Maulana, we must have a lawyer, because from the legal perspective, they'll enlighten you, inshallah. So we must try our level best to ensure that we keep the unity of the family intact and try and give out as much as possible during your lifetime. That is my advice. Lo and behold, now we come to the will. In Islam, in South African law, lawyers will tell us more, that you look at our various regimes regarding our will and all that. Some people get married and then they are married COP. That father-in-law said, hey, I'll give you my daughter, but I don't know you. Just now after 2 years, 5 years, the marriage don't work out, you send my daughter back, then what happens? So I'll give you my daughter, but first you must get registered, and after marriage, and you make register COP, community of property. So everything now is 50-50. Husband dies, only the second 50% will be distributed, the 50% that is there automatically goes to the surviving spouse. So whoever passes away. Now is this Islamic? It's not Islamic, but there are ways around it. If you want to solve the problem, some of you are married, registered COP, community of property, you can have a joint will, one will. But if you have the wife and she is the survivor, husband passed away first, then remember in that case there, she can go to court and say, I want my estate, I want my share according to South African law. And lo and behold, 99% they will give it to her. So therefore that loophole remains. Second way you can go around it and circumvent it is this. You say, fine, me and my wife, that we are partners in everything. So we are partners in assets, we are partners in liabilities and everything else. So that also, if you come amicable agreement, so that will be acceptable Islamically. But best is to avoid all this, so many problems can come about, so best is to avoid it. Second one is when we register our marriages, we register ANC, nothing to do with a political party in it. So ANC, anti-nuptial contract, okay? Anti-nuptial contract, excluding without the accrual system. So what is mine is mine, what is the wife's, and remember your Islamic will is valid, nobody can contest it, so everything will be fine. So we clear with that? Third one. Now we look at practical issues. Let's go a little bit, 30, 40 years, 50 years. My father, Rahimahullah, started the business. So when he started the business, he was alone. Then my elder brother went, so he joined the father. You know how we run business. Muhammad Ridwan's father, he didn't know whether he's a partner in the business. He doesn't know whether he's a director in the business. It is just a free understanding, you understand? Whatever I need, I just take out from the till and finish. I need car, fine, I'll buy car. I need a house, I'll do this. But his designation, what are you? Are you a partner? Are you a director? Are you just doing it for the love of your parents? We don't know. 90% of us, our businesses are like that. That's a big, big shortcoming. You must designate what is your position. Now he worked in the shop with my father for 30, 40 years. I didn't work one day in the shop. Father passes away, our shares are equal. So he said, how can my share and your share be equal that you didn't even stay one day in the shop and I stayed 30, 40 years in the shop? So that is why our problems come about and problems. I'm just giving an example. Alhamdulillah, we got null problem. I'm just giving you the examples. Why we have so many problems? Because we just leave everything loose ends. Taya kare. Ansar rehmak, you know. We will see. Thus we will see ansar rehmak. It don't work in Islam. We must know your designation. Another example. That husband-wife divorce. Allah forbid, Allah forbid. Now remember the husband gave his wife. Because things were good. She was so smart. Paragon of beauty. And remember, he gave her 1 million rand, 1,000 rand, jewelry, this, that. You gave it to her. Now when the marriage turns sour, he or his parents tell the wife, ex-wife, the daughter-in-law, that you must give back the mahar, you must give back the money, you must give back the jewelry. All this absolutely haram, my brothers. Surah 4 verse 20, 21, 22. Allah Jalla Wala states in the Noble Quran, وَأَعْتَيْتُمْ إِحْدَاهُنَّ قِنْطَارًا. If you gave your wife millions, فَلَا تَأْخُذُوا مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. You can't take back 1 cent also. Allah is telling us, rhetorical question, أَتَأْخُذُونَهُ بُهْتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا. How can you take him back? You deflowered her, you used her, you enjoyed yourself with her. وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا. It's a manifest sin, a heinous crime, to take back anything from her when you gave it to her as a gift and she took possession of it. Hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Al-aidu fi hibatihi kal-kalbi ya'udu fi qay'ihi. The person who gave a gift, the giftee received the gift, and now we take it back because the relationship turns sour. The parable example Mustafa Habibuna Rahmatulil Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving is like a dog. The dog vomits and the dog goes and licks the vomit. So that person who takes back the gift, his example is like that. Father-in-law is millionaire. Son-in-law, it's not your example. So you must remember that son-in-law is Molvi Sahib, Imam Sahib. Understood? So you must remember now things turn sour. So he say, hey, I gave you car, I gave you this, bring everything back. You can't do all this. Understand this? So you must be clear on all these issues here. Next one. Now you are people who don't want to pay tax. Even I don't want to pay tax. Right? You got 100 million, how are you going to pay tax, Baji? So Baji says, I went to my lawyer, I went to my attorney, I went to my accountant, I went to the CA, I went to the BA and everybody. He said, you do this. You open a trust account, you do this, you do this, your tax and all that will be much less. Brothers, you need to understand the Islamic implications, not only the tax implications. In Islam, you can't have, understand my words properly. In Islam, you can't have a perpetual trust. The trust is going on and on. I got the trust, 100 million, 50 million, you know, I was not dead, it's just to make you happy. So 100 million, 50 million, 20 million, whatever it is, I die, the trust is still going on. No. In Islam, once a person dies, in Pakistan, India, when you ask, aapke walid sahab ka hai, where's your father? You see, now wo to expire ho gaya. Wo to expire ho gaya. For death, they say expire. So you say, unka expire ho gaya. So you mean he passed away. So the father got expired, he passed away, you see. So when the person passed away, so that everything is dissolved. That trust account is dissolved. You can't have perpetual. Everything must come into the basket. So whether it's offshore account, whether it's inshore account, whether it's trust or whatever, everything has to come into the basket. Remember, that's very, very important. 4 or 5 other issues which are common errors, because we deal with this almost on a daily basis. So let me explain to you 2-3 practical issues regarding what we do and what happens. I'm just speaking general, my brothers. Allah forbid, Allah forbid. We brought up our son, our daughter, all of them. Lap of luxury. We grew up in Lens, we moved to Houghton. Everything is smart, luxurious. The son got involved in drugs. Allah forbid, Allah forbid. You so disappointed, the parent. I'm going to fix the son up. He tarnished my reputation. He used thousands and millions of my money on drugs. I am going to deprive him. I'm going to disown him. I want all of you, my brothers. I want all of you, my sisters and listeners on the radios. You must by heart or the references I'm giving now. Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verse number 13. Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala speaks in the context of inheritance. وَمَنْ يُطِي اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ. Whosoever obeys Almighty Allah and Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you did everything properly according to the laws of Sharia. وَذَٰلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. That is the supreme success. Chapter 4, Surah Nisa, verse 14. وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ Who disobeyed Almighty Allah Jalla Wala and Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودًا You went beyond the limits. You gave your daughter more than her share. You gave the son more than his share. We disown somebody. We deprive somebody. Decrease somebody's share unilaterally. That is the meaning. وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودًا See what Quran is saying. Surah 4 verse 14. يُدْخِلْهُ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا Allah will dispatch that person to Jahannam and the hellfire for very, very long period. وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ And for that person is a disgraceful, humiliating punishment. So it is in my interest and your interest, first and foremost, make sure we have a will. Hadith in Bukhari Sharif. يَبِيتُ لَيْلَتَيْنِ إِلَّا وَوَصِيَّتُهُ مَكْتُوبَةٌ عِنْدَهُ It does not behove a Muslim person that two nights must pass. Hours 20 years, 50 years, 70 years, Baji 90 years, one leg in the grave, but we don't have a will. So when a person dies, remember, without that will, and remember he dies in that state, you create so many problems for your family, legal problems, and so forth and so on. So remember, it's wajib, especially for us living in this type of countries. So we must have a will, and it must be Islamic. So when we disown or deprive somebody, we are digging our own grave. So what can you do? The daughter decided to run away. And sometimes they run away with a non-Muslim. Sometimes they got haram children. We know what's happening. Every day we bombarded with questions. So what does a person do? He feels his daughter really disappointed him, tarnished his reputation. He disowns the daughter. She's still a Muslim. She didn't denounce Islam. So remember, my brothers and sisters, there are five people who must inherit. Provided that they are Muslim. Any person dies, five people must inherit. Father, mother must inherit. They Muslim, they must inherit. Children must inherit. Biological children. Not adopted children, foster children, stepchildren, they don't inherit. Yes, you can make wasiya for them. You can bequeath for them. But they're not heirs. Stepchildren are not heirs. Adopted children are not heirs. So remember that when you pass away without the will, they say that person died intestate. And it's a big crime, heinous crime in Islam to pass away like that. So the next point I'm making, that the parents must inherit, two. The children must inherit, son, daughter, provided they're Muslim. And the surviving spouse must inherit. Wife dies, husband must inherit. And mashallah in Houghton, South Africa, and other parts of the world, some of our brothers, they got a lot of barakat and so forth. Our Haji Sahib, mashallah, Haji Abdul Samad, he was with us in Hajj. Maybe he remembered the story I told them. That the person asked me, he said, Mufti Sahib, I'm going for Hajj and I'm taking both my wives. So it's permissible to go with both my wives for Hajj. I said, yes, it's permissible, but you must book two separate rooms. If you're going to take one room and both wives will be there, they won't be pelting the shaitan, they're going to pelt you. So brothers, now you got two, plus you in Houghton must be three, another one four. One behind there, you know, some overseas ones. Morocco ni hari lage, you understand? The one from Morocco and all this, so let's try one Arab one also. So when you have the Morocco wife, South African wife, Indian wife, African wife, whatever, she's your wife. Whether she's registered or not, is your wife. Remember that if you have a child from any one of them, so they, the wives, will inherit 12.5%. 12.5%, not each. If it's two wives, 6.25%, 6.25%. So if you got three, four wives, and collectively they must inherit 12.5, you can understand this afternoon after Jummah you ate kari kichri, how much kari kichri will happen there? They will be fighting like... So it's your duty, during your lifetime, you keep on giving her whatever you want to. This brings me, you must remember to another point. The Orientalists, the non-Muslims, you know Islamophobia. They say Islam is chauvinistic. Islam is unfair to the woman. I said, fine. Ask whatever you want. So that's your objection. Now let's give you the answer. I have a son, I have a daughter. That daughter, from the day she's born till the day she gets married, all her expenses, I am responsible. The father is responsible. Everything. The day she gets married till her death, the husband is responsible. From the womb to the tomb, from the cradle to the grave, in Islam, the lady, the daughter, the wife, she's receiving all the time. Plus, when she gets married, the husband has to give mahar. The woman don't come cheap today. No pay, no play. You know the story. So, my brothers, you must remember that Islam made it such that they must receive. And the man, this is my son. I'm only responsible for him for his first 15, 16 years. I sent him to university, I sent him to college, I sent him overseas, all that. My father sent me with his own money. We didn't take nothing but his money. So he just did me a favor. It's not compulsory upon him. So we must remember that he's... So when your son, he gets married, you as a father don't have to pay anything. You're just doing a favor. Now when he gets married, he has to look after his wife, he has to look after his children, he has to take care of his mother when she is old and she doesn't have income. So because the expenses are much more upon the male, therefore Islam worked on the ratio 2-1. Not because of what you are making propaganda, chauvinistic reasons or other reasons and so forth. This is the justice system of Islam. I pass away, I have my wife, and I have children, and I have my parents. So wife, 12.5%. Parents, how much? So remember, 1616, they're inheriting the same amount. Father, mother, male and female, same amount. 1616. The remainder will go to my son or sons, or if I have son and daughter, the residue will go to them, ratio 2-1. So that is how things will work post-death, after I pass away. But I explained to you during my lifetime, when I give, then you work on par. And you should be no brazen, you know, that injustice and favoritism, so that is not permissible. Next one. These are daily issues which we face. Our aim is always to keep the unity of the family intact. Here somebody's father passed away. That father is always the person, normally in our Indian especially, that the father keeps all the big, he'll keep all the dollars and all pounds and euros. For the wife, you say, you keep the reins. You understand? You say, now rain is a junk status almost, you understand? So you keep the reins, I'll keep the dollars. You understand? Right. Now he drew up the will. The will is un-Islamic. Okay, we did janaza salat, we buried baji, everything. Now the family come. I saw with my own eyes. And this you all know. Father got Ferrari, Lamborghini and Porsche and what have you. Before the father is buried, the two sons already fighting. The Porsche is mine. That guy say is mine. What kind of children we got? We never even buried the father. So therefore, my brothers, it's in your interest to sort all these things out. Otherwise, your children, they're not even interested in making dua for you. See, father was a big letdown. He didn't give me the Porsche. For him, the Porsche is more important than reading one Yasin for you. That is what we are doing today. Let us be honest about these issues. So I want to give you a solution. My father passed away, my mother passed away. The world, everything of ours, alhamdulillah, all sorted out, everything Islamic. I'm just giving examples. So when he passed away, the world was un-Islamic. Now you come to me. People like to come to the Maulana and to the Mufti Sahib and all of them. You know why? They said there's this and all. They make Jazakallah. We not included anywhere in the world, by right? You understand? And you go by the lawyer and all that. You say, yeah, you come, no problem. First thing, maaf our Ziad by and all of you lawyers. And he put the stopwatch there first thing. Now let's talk. Let us biki prats. Understand? Then when the bull comes, now he is. That already sends him half into heart attack. Understood? So this type of thing. So they love coming back. I say, oh, free service, you know? And this type of thing. So anyway, let's carry on. They say, you know what? This world I know is un-Islamic. Tell me what to do. I said, fine. I said, explain to me. Papa passed away, wife, meaning your mother is there. He says, yes. How many sons, how many daughters? Fine. Now this is the key. Are all sane? Are all mature? Say yes. I said, fine, bring them whole lot. So now when the world was un-Islamic, but all the heirs are sane, are mature, and we reach an amicable agreement. You take the car, you take the shop, you take the house, you take the money, you take the inshore, you take the offshore. It will not be double, single, and so forth. It is mutual agreement. We are redressing the situation. We are addressing and redressing the situation. We're trying to make a wrong right. So remember, Islam allows that. Islam allows that. That you, the heirs, among yourself, you come to an amicable arrangement and you say, fine, that when my father passed away, I called our family, I said, see, this is what I tell you, we do, you take this, this. Everybody agreed, fine, finish, now go, everything sorted out. So if you all are big-hearted and you really want to keep your family united, so remember that is excellent for you to do, that you reach an amicable agreement when the world is un-Islamic. Now what happens, that the father passed away, he only got one house, and he got some money in the bank. Now you can't go say that the bedroom belongs to him, and the bathroom belongs to him, and all these things here. So remember, you all become joint owners, proportionately. So if there are rates and taxes, if there are expenditure, so all that you will pay proportionately. If you're renting out the house and the income comes in, everybody receives the rental proportionately according to the shares. Same thing with your factories and your warehouses and whatever else, the same thing will work there. Another thing is that today when a person passes away, then many a time people want the expertise of the lawyer, accountant, this one, that one, and they don't come cheap, you have to pay. So remember, you pay all these type of expenses from the estate. Once all the heirs agree, so you pay all these type of expenses from the estate of the deceased. My time is almost up, 1 minute is left. I'll leave you with this here. Remember, where there's a will, there's a way. So where there's a will, make sure it must be Islamic. Brothers, when we don't have Islamic will, the Muslim today, he always wants to. You see, if I give you this incident, you will understand. I went overseas, Australia, New Zealand alone. I go with my wife, example. When I came back, my wife is there, my mother is there. To biwi ne pucha, the wife asked, mere liye kya laya, what you brought for me? And walida ne pucha, the honorable mother said, beta, khana khaya, did you have lunch, did you eat? The mother's love is a pure love. Husband, wife, we all got our motive and so forth. So people have motives today. And 90%, remember, it is motives for selfish purposes. People will come to us and a big discussion starts. The world states this, so I want my share. I say, but you're not entitled to that according to Islamic law. He says, no, I want the world. According to the South African law, I'm entitled to that million. So he's going to see that which side he's going to get the biggest slice of the cake, the greatest size of the estate. If South African law is in his favor, they say, I want that. And if Islamic Sharia, he'll come and they act like big buzruks there, you know. Say, you know, we want Islam. Because he knows he'll get a bigger share. So remember, brothers, we cannot adopt the policy, Razi rahe Rahman bhi, khush rahe Shaitan bhi. We look which side I'm going to inherit the bigger portion. If it is Islamic side, then I say I want Sharia. When it is the law of the land, then I say I want that way. Islam don't allow that. We have to enter into Islam in its totality and entirety. Not we pick and choose and so forth, so that for our own selfish motives and ulterior motives. Inshallah, we'll start the Q&A. Mona, our Wakil Sahib is here. Oh yeah. Okay, brothers, anything regarding the Sharia and so forth, I'll handle anything legal that is South African law and all that, you know. So inshallah, our wakil sahab. I'll just run through the questions quickly. And mashallah, we receive many, many questions, right? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I'll just read it as it is. If Ahmed has multiple properties and put the different properties on his family member's name for tax purposes, they are fully aware of this reasoning. How does one ensure the distribution is done according to Sharia? Dr. Sahib, if there's anything, Wakil Sahib, if there's anything you want to say from Sharia, from legal side, just touch me, just tell me, right? Simple, what you must do is, for your tax purposes, you gave your son, you gave your daughter, you did this, you did that. You must sign an affidavit that Islamically all these properties still belong to me. You see? So when you sign that affidavit, they know about it, it doesn't belong to them, you are paying the rates, taxes, everything you are doing. So in that case there, all that will go back into the estate, and then it will be divided, distributed proportionately. Provided that you made it clear to them, you are not giving it to them as a hiba, as a gift. You are just using their names, you know, under apartheid. Our people used to use nominee system, you know, so the white man's name. So this is the same thing they should do.
With regard to that, from a legal point of view, that affidavit won't really hold much weight. If any one of the children insist that it's on their name, the will is the final document of the deceased. And if it's not included or not in his name, rather, the title deed is in the son's name, there's no real document that's going to force him to basically relinquish it to the rest of the estate. So Usab can suggest maybe a different way to protect in an issue like that.
You see, that's why we needed the legal eagle, you see. So therefore, brothers, the only way you can solve problem like this is that what we do, we nurture our children with taqwa and piety. Their own conscience must come. Yes, Papa gave it to me, but made it clear it belongs to him. But the brother will say, you know what, it's on my name. And if his wife is also with him, yeah, what they think, it's on our name. You know what I'm saying? It's on our name and all that. So remember, it can create a lot of problems. This year, brother, you wrote a whole love letter. I'm taking the short question first, right? So this time. Okay. If a person is unmarried and has no children, is that person allowed to divide his estate as he chooses in his will? No. No one can do that in Islam. You must remember, you can't say, I will do it unilaterally as I feel. Quran has mentioned Surah 4, chapter 4, verse number 11 and 12, and then 13, 14. 11, Faridatam min Allah. The shares are prescribed, ordained by Almighty Allah. So we cannot do it unilaterally. Muslim means we submit, surrender to the laws of Almighty Allah. So you can't do that. So if you're not married, your siblings will inherit. If your parents are there, your parents. Remember this law across the board. This much you must remember. I drop dead now, my father is alive, biological father. Once the biological father is alive, then all my siblings, my brothers, sisters are deprived. Once I pass away and I have a biological son, so my son will deprive all my siblings. This is a golden rule throughout inheritance. The deceased father or the deceased son, they alive, all the siblings are out. So yeah, if you have parents or father, they will inherit. You don't have father, mother, you have siblings, they will inherit. You can't say, no, give all the money in charity and all that. It's totally haram and not permissible that. So we need, remember always Surah 4, verse number 13 and 14. We do things properly, and so great success. And we do it incorrectly, then Jahannam, and very, very long time, and Walahu Adabun Muhin. If one has only daughters, what is the prophesying prophecy? Quran, Surah 4, verse number 11. If you have one daughter only, Falahannis, so she'll get 50%. If you have two or more daughters, two-thirds. So I die, I left my wife, 12.5%, and then I got 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 daughters, so two-thirds for them. Their share with the wife share, 79%, 80%, so that's finished. The remaining 20, 21, there's no father, mother, so in a case like that, will go to my siblings. My brothers are alive, it goes to them. My sisters are alive, it goes to them. Brothers and sisters are alive, ratio 2 to 1. We clear? So that is how it will work. Okay, that is finished. Yeah, right. If you are married ANC with accrual, you see, I told you, you must register your marriage with ANC without accrual. But the brother say he's married now, he registered with accrual. Can you bequeath all assets to surviving spouse? This our people do so much nowadays, absolutely haram. It's like they saying, they got some revelation, astaghfirullah, we can't use it, they got some inspiration. He says, I leave everything for my wife. And after my wife dies, then it will be distributed Islamically to the children. So who got guarantee you're going to die first, then your wife will die, and all. So remember to do that absolutely haram. What you're suggesting here, brother, whether you ANC without accrual system, with accrual system, community of property, and you leave everything for surviving spouse, everything all haram. Because you are depriving the other heirs. And you cannot do so Islamically. Remember, it's a major, major sin. I never quoted the hadith, let me quote it now. Man qata'a miratha warithihi, qata'a Allahu mirathahu min al-jannati yawm al-qiyamah. Whosoever deprives his heir of their rightful share, Almighty Allah will deprive that person of his share in Jannat, the hadith in Mishkat Sharif. Think properly what we are doing. Just for the, you know, money is sweeter than honey, brothers. So that you want to give your honey, your wife, give her in your lifetime. One Baji wrote in his world, see, we see all funny things. He writes there, that this house is for my wife, this. But you know, like the insurance companies, and life insurance is not permissible also, I'll come to that now. So, he writes there, like the insurance company, you know, fine print. So he wrote there, if my wife gets remarried, then she forfeits the house and all. I say, Baji, once wasted, never tasted, you see. He want to dictate from the grave. You gone, you history, by. She can carry on with the geography. She want to take another husband after the idiot, what? You got no business to stop her. You understood? So you must remember these things there. We want to dictate from there. So this type of thing. So when all that is permissible. So that's not permissible. Those of you got 10 million, 100 million policy, what you paid your premiums, that will go into your estate. And all you paid 5 million, 5 million will go. The 30 million, 20 million that came, that excess, that must go in charity, pay your taxes or whatever, but it doesn't form part of the estate Islamically. Remember, that's what I mentioned already, Wakil Sahib, mashallah, is reminding me to clarify it once again. Islamically, to take out the life policy in the first place, is not permissible and acceptable. But if the person took it out, I'm speaking of that, it's sinful, but only that portion that we paid as premiums will constitute and form part of the estate. The excess, that will not be part of the estate. It has to go in charity. If one has given an asset away to child spouse, can this be taken back later? I answered this already to you. No, you can't do that. Example, new car, house, all that. No, you can't do that. I gave you the example of the dog and all that, astaghfirullah. If you buy a house in a trust, will that house still be shared according to... Yes, 100%. You can't have perpetual trust. I mentioned that as well already to you. Second one, trust. You see, to have trust today, you must have a lot of trust in the people also. Whichever question you want, then you just see if you want to add something here, right? So, any one of that. Is it permissible to transfer asset into non-perpetual trust, defined owners such that they are excluded from one's estate? No. It's like saying what our people do with their daughters. I have a daughter, I told her, Betty, for you, I'm going to give you the wedding of the year. So for my daughter's wedding, I spent 5 million, 10 million. The best, this best. But I told her afterwards, you know, I spent so much on your wedding, when I pass away, you won't inherit anything. It's haram, you can't do it. What you did in your lifetime is history. After your death, everyone must inherit. Five people, son, daughter, father, mother, surviving spouse, provided they Muslim, remember. And they didn't murder anybody. My name AK, Allah forbid, I take the AK-47 and shoot somebody dead, my father, or my astaghfirullah, ya Allah forbid. So if you murdered somebody, then from that somebody you can't inherit. Al-qatilu la yarithu. So remember that. The people put their father, mothers away also today. You know, a lot of things go on. Okay, can you bequeath an asset to such an entity? Can you bequeath to a company? Remember, you can bequeath to your sons and daughters and so forth, provided the law is this, you are not allowed to bequeath to an heir. But Nabi alayhi salam said in Hajjatul Wida, لا وسيط لوارثين إلا أيجيزه. If you want to bequeath to an heir, then all the other heirs must be sane, must be mature, and they give grant permission willingly. Then it is. I got three sons, I got two daughters, they all are well off millionaires, but one son, Bichara, is Maulana, like, you know, we know the Maulana story, Bichara. So I said that Maulana, for you, I give you the most. They all don't work in Houghton, you know how it is. So this type of things. So now you must, so I told him, for you, you take this 100,000 million, whatever it is. So I told him, see, you know our situation. So they all are sane, they all are mature, I bequeath for an heir. It's not permissible. You can't exceed one third. But one instance you can, where the heirs are sane, mature, and they gave permission willingly. So Islam will allow it in that case. Then. Know that we put a gun to their head, no coercion and all that. Would like to know if your sibling is not married or has no children, who can inherit? So you must remember, we have to look at the heirs. If your sibling is married, got no children, his parents are alive. So take that example, I got no children, let's say my parents are alive. So in a case like that, I die, so is my wife, is my father, is my mother. So what will happen? The estate from total 4%. 25% to my wife, 50% to my father, 25% to my mother. You got it? So you must remember that will happen. Take the other way around, that wife passes away, husband and her parents. So 50% will go, you must remember too, you work it out from 6 shares. So 3 shares will go to the husband, 2 shares to the father, and 1 share to the mother. So all this is sorted out very clearly. So this is how you will work it out, remember that. I remember the other law I told you, once you have the biological father or biological son, then all siblings are out. You can bequeath for them. You love your brother, love your sister. So mashallah, in your lifetime give them, and in your will you make provision for them, that remember that you give them, you understand, is wasiyah, that's fine. A person left the will leaving everything to his wife. So it's finished, that body, that will is finished. We'll say on air, it's not worth the paper on which is written. That will is null and void. You can't proceed any further. So remember this type of thing. Is the wife's claim to the entire estate justified? But how are you going to blame the wife? You wrote the baji that everything must go to her. Understand? So you the one who made the mistake. She is guilty, but you more. So therefore we must make sure. So the children must, you know, the children can contest this world Islamically. What will happen in a case like that? From, I'm asking to you, Hajis Wakil Sahab, that I left everything to my wife, but I got sons and daughters. So we're not speaking about now Islamically. Islamically, I gave. What happened in a legal situation?
Legally, the will stands, and you have to abide by the will.
And the children will not be able to contest it.
They can't contest it. There's no basis for contesting it. There is, obviously, if she agrees, there is ways to, you know, share it according to Sharia. But
that is redistribution.
Correct. If she's in agreement, but if she's not in agreement, then the will stands, and she'll inherit everything.
You all heard properly. If I said everything goes to my wife and I have children and the wife agrees, then we have a redistribution, that's fine. But the wife don't agree. She say you can fly a kite, this is what he wrote. And say if it is the stepmother, then what you think? My wife passed away, I got 3 children, 5 children from my first wife. And now she's my second wife. She will say, bye. Your father, he loved me so much, he had me alles gegeven. What you want, you make inna lillah wa inna ilayhi rajiun. It's haram, absolutely. But who's to blame? She's to blame for usurping the rights. But you to blame for writing the will like that. See? So this is what I'm telling you all. You must be very careful. Questions regarding valid disposition of ownership during one's lifetime. Can one dispose of property without formally? No, you can't. You must transfer. That is very loose arrangement. No, it's yours, but it's on my name. You can't. Islamically, it's not valid. You must give it to them. You understand? What name, title, deeds, everything and all that. So that is very, very important. Most of these issues, I covered them, mashallah. The wakil sahab is here. If you've got legal questions also. Can heirs give up their right to inheritance? If house or... This is an excellent question. There is a giant in Islam. His name is Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal al-Shaybani. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal is buried there by the Tigris River in Iraq. I went to his grave also. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, his father was a very pious man. But this is their taqwa and piety. So, his father passed away. Now understand this, my brothers and sisters and listeners. In Islam, when we speak of inheritance, and this brings me to another masla which I must mention now also. In Islam, this is the only place milkiyat is ijbari. Now you didn't understand that in Arabic terms. Which means that my father passed away, my mother passed away, I am the son, she is the daughter. Automatically ownership comes to me. If I say I don't want, it's still yours. If you say you don't want, it's still yours, Islamically. Because it's ijbari, it's imposed upon you. Now Imam, once I give you the incident, you will understand. So Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, this was his taqwa, his piety. He said, you know, my father made one deal, one transaction. And in my heart, I got a lot of doubt regarding that transaction. So yes, bring the 100,000, bring the million, whatever it was in those times. He took it and he gave everything away in charity. You follow? So, you can forfeit your share, not in that manner like what we speak of English way. You still will be considered as the owner and then you gave it to somebody. The one son is multi-millionaire. The other son is, you know, sickly, physically disabled. He said, you know, you take it. So we will say that the share came to him and then he gave it to his brother or whoever. You understood? Now see today what happens, brothers. Our wakil sahab can enlighten us on this issue. My brothers, sometime, the other day I dealt with a will 40, 50 years ago, in the 60s or something, this thing took place. I even shouted them, I say, you come to me after 50 years, and you want to sort it out? How many people have passed away in between? The pardada, the great-grandfather, now the great-grandchildren are coming. Imagine. Nevertheless, now my brothers, father, we just take example. Father passed away, mother passed away. Now to wind up the estate, it took 3 years. By the time I got my share, it's after 3 years. After 3 years, 4 years, my sister got her share because of the legal process all. So I have to pay zakat on what I received for the past 3 years. Why? Because I'm the owner. From the time my father passed away, you can't have something hanging in the air Islamically. In Islamic law of succession, I am the owner. If there is something wrong in that wealth, it gets stolen or whatever, it's my loss. So how it is my loss? So likewise, zakat, I am responsible. If it's a house or whatever, there's that property and we're renting it out and whatever you, so remember, proportionately, everybody must pay their zakat for the preceding years, previous years. We must be clear on that issue. That also causes a lot of problems sometimes. Inheritance calculated by adding all ratios together, then calculating inheritance, certain order, I give it to you now. Husband dies, leaves behind parents, wife, children, inheritance calculated 1/6. You must always start with the wife. Start with the wife 1/8 or 1/4. These child children, 1/8, 12.5%. No children, 25%. If the wife passes away, you start with the husband. And then you go to the other heirs. So it makes it easy to calculate in that way then. Remember, grandparents will be deprived if the parents are there. So the law is the law of proximity. My grandchildren will not inherit when I have a son. So when I have grandchildren, I can bequeath for them. So just like adopted children. My dada, dadi, nana, nani will not inherit grandparents when my father is alive, when my mother is alive. But I love them, so I can bequeath for them. So that is how you make wasiyah for them. Okay, this brother here, I think he's a pharmacist. He brought his whole writing pad here. So anyway, we won't mention which pharmacist. This now you all will know him. Let's read the whole letter, the love letter. My brother-in-law, who's Hafiz al-Quran, he took his brother-in-law's name. Right. My brother-in-law is Hafiz al-Quran, manipulated my wife, stating he sought guidance from the ulama, that she cannot Islamically keep control of money, left by her late dad. My wife's parents stayed with her a period of years, as she was unmarried. My mom-in-law continued to live with us. He asked for access to the account using Islamic ruling based on trust. My wife gave him access. He later emptied the account, and this included the other two brothers' shares. He stole my wife's share, also which was left into the account. He told her that I will tell you when to move your share. My mom-in-law has now applied for pension and is dependent on us, despite from the onset my wife had made him aware of the medical needs of our mother. He refuses to return monies while we're struggling, as this is my wife's share as well. He needs for my mother-in-law. That needs to be and has affected us immensely. He also brought the vehicle cash with the monies and made this together to buy the bank to buy a car. So simple, the long and short of this is, the son-in-law, if you want to call him, or the husband, whichever way you want to look at it, he stole the money. We answer the questions as the questions are posed. So to usurp the money like that, any person can tell you is absolutely haram. Now you're leaving your wife, you're leaving your mother-in-law, basically paupers, and now they have to go take pension and what have you and whatever. All that is obviously haram. We must remember, once we do people down, we usurp their rights and what have you. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullu lahmin nabata min shuhtin fannaru awla bihi." Every piece of flesh that develops from haram, we usurp somebody's rights. Like here, the husband took the share of the wife or the mother-in-law, whoever. So remember that every morsel we are taking, so all that means we land up straight in Jahannam. Sometime we are usurping the rights of orphans. What is an orphan in Islam? Man mata abu. That son, that daughter whose father passed away and they are minors. The mother can be alive. And you find the uncle comes, he buys nice toys, all that for these yatim children. And what he does? He is using their money to enrich himself. Ill-gotten gain, as we say in English. Quran says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَ ظُلْمًا. Today the Imam of the Haram, Sheikh Salih Humayd, spoke on this. Verily those people who devour the wealth of the orphans, the assets of the orphans, unjustly, يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا, they filling their bellies with fire. وَسَيَسْلَوْنَ سَعِيرًا, soon Allah will dispatch them straight to Jahannam. So my brothers, don't think we'll get away with impunity because we stole somebody's share, ill-gotten gain, and all these type of issues. So brothers, therefore Quran tells us, ittaqullah, fear Allah. We can get the sharpest lawyer, maaf wakil sahab. We can get the sharpest maulvi, we can get the sharpest mufti, and then we manipulate this way. But we know that we did somebody down. We usurp somebody's shares. Therefore, Maliki Yawmiddin, there is the day of justice. And there, we will have to account. Wakil sahab, we got 4 minutes. I think you need to give some advice to our brothers from the legal side. Yes. 1-2 errors that are very common. So inshallah, you can, I think it will be good advice for everybody. We got listeners on air also. Yes.
On this question, if you buy a house in a trust, will that house still be shared according to Sharia by your inheritors? Again, the ruling is the same as the person, the father who puts his properties on his children's names for tax purposes. It can be shared according to Sharia, but that's provided all the children are in agreement that the trust will be dissolved and they're all willing to throw it back into the pot. But there is the possibility that one or two, whatever it is, can insist that's their share and they're not willing to do it. So it's something to be avoided.
Then again, they won't have no recourse. They can't
contest
it.
No recourse. No.
We understood that one. See, trust also a big problem. Tell them something else about
one common thing, my question to you, I think you misunderstood me earlier, was it's a common thing now where people intentionally take out life policies to pay for their estate duty and capital gains at the time of death. And certain ulama have said you allowed because of the Zulam tax, so you go and intentionally take it out with the intention you won't use it for anything else but to pay to your taxes.
See, our fatwa regarding that, Mr. ABC goes, takes out the policy, 5 million, 10 million. His intention is it will not go into the estate in this way that his wife or children and that will inherit. It will offset the tax duty and the estate duty and this duty and whatever. I am asking you, you buried. These children, when they see that millions flashing, what do you think they're going to do? They'll get some sharpshoot lawyer, this, that, do this, that, the millions will go in their pocket. So absolutely, you see, don't use ulama to justify our wrong. It's not permissible, end of the story. That is the fatwa. But no, we must go zigzag. This Maulana said this, this Mufti. No, it's not permissible. And you're putting your children to a very, very big test. Remember this time. The Wakil sir, please, we've got 2 minutes left. I want you just to explain to the house here and the listeners the estate duty, when the estate duty comes in, how many million is free and how many million. Just explain that, please.
Estate duty is anything in surplus of, in excess of 3.5 million, you'll be taxed 20% off. So, as an example, if you die with an estate of 10 million rand, the first 3.5 million is exempt, and the balance of 6.5, you multiply that by 20%, and that gets paid over to SARS. On top of that, you got your capital gains tax that, you know, anything you have, like when you're alive, you have one primary residence. So I'm talking property, shares in a company, shares in a private public company. Those are all considered assets that if you dispose of it, and death is seen as a disposal. So on the date of your death, that's seen, so to speak, as a sale, as a disposal. So capital gains tax will kick in. Capital gains tax, it's very difficult to say exactly how much you pay. It all depends on your tax rate. There is a formula to be used, times 36%, and then thereafter your tax rate with a whole lot of exemptions, but an accountant will explain that better. And those are your two taxes that's applicable besides your income tax that SARS will come knocking on your door for, to say, you know, you've got outstanding for 2015, 2016, etc. The other thing that if I can just add is the importance of a will. You know, today's time it's easily accessible. There's many attorneys who will actually do an Islamic will for you for free, or annually the Law Society has something called the National Wills Week. For that 1 week, you're invited to come and sign a will for free. Alternatively, organizations like Jamiatul Ulama, I think it's, last time I checked, was about 60 rand. You can go and purchase a will and complete it there. The very important thing with regards to purchasing a will from an Islamic organization is that you don't complete it yourself. You side with either the Mufti there at Jamiat or the Mulanas at Jamiat, who are clued up with regards to inheritance, and complete it with them. Because a will is such a thing that if it's not completed and signed correctly, so for example, it's a 4-page will, you sign and on the one page, 2 witnesses don't sign next to you, that will can be declared invalid, the master won't accept it, and then your estate will be wound up according to South African law. With regards to South African law, it's a big misconception for many years. You hear from the old people that if you don't have a will, everything is forfeited to the state. So they came up with that little nightmare because of the word interstate succession. Interstate succession is merely dying without a will. So at no time does your estate forfeit to the state. Interstate basically means that you died without the will, and the law of the country will prevail in distributing your estate.
Okay, brothers, Jazakallah Khair to our attorney, sir. Brother, Allah Jazakallah Khair, Allah Ta'ala grant your wife, Marhuma, Jannatul Firdaus, and Jazakallah Khair. What is we going to do now is Isha Adhan, and then after Isha Salat, I'm speaking now on behalf of Wakil Saab. You know, when you get married, you have a Wakil. So if any one of you got legal questions, I hope inshallah Wakil Saab will give you some advice. And I think it will be gratis advice. You won't
no
send
problem.
Him a bill or anything.
No.
So inshallah it will be gratis inshallah. And for me, I'm going away because I left home yesterday. You know, I had programs in Pretoria and all that. So anybody want queries, just my cell phone number 071-888-1184 or my email akhussain. You just take it from Muhammad Ridwan, akhussain@gmail.com. You can just send it to me and tomorrow I'm free. I'll answer all the queries inshallah for you. Jazakallah khair to the trustees, to the imams, to all of you and all our esteemed listeners. Barakallah fiqh. Jazakallah khair. Make sure before you sleep tonight and before the weekend is over, we have our world ready, inshallah. Allah give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana. Anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.